Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
And if you have a Bible in hand, we invite you to turn to Luke chapter number 14. It should also be on the screen for you as well, Luke chapter number 14. We ask that if you're an able-bodied, we all stand to honor the reading of God's word. We're doing that simply to show our reverence for God's word. Luke chapter number 14. We'll begin with verse number 15. And we'll read down to the 24th verse. Luke chapter number 14. Everybody has to say amen. If you're still looking, hold up. Amen. Luke chapter number 14. Here is what it says. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. I'm sorry. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married. I've been waiting for a long time, so please excuse me. I can't come.' The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' And the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. As you take your seat, help me introduce this morning's sermon by saying to your neighbor, "Neighbor, this morning's sermon is invited to invite." Look at another neighbor, put a smile on your face. Let's go, put a smile. No, y'all looking at me, put a smile on your face and look at your neighbor. "Neighbor, this morning's sermon is invited to invite. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now. Thank you for this opportunity to worship and to praise your holy and matchless name. I pray now, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Right, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are beginning a new series. This new series is called RSVP. RSVP is going to be an exciting series. For this series, we'll spend a lot of time in the gospel. Now, each week, you'll also begin to notice in your worship guide, hopefully you have a worship guide, there is some information for you to take home that will help you apply the sermon in your life throughout the week. We really want to make sure we're uplifting in mind, and so we want to provide some information to help you follow along with the sermon as well. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to have the series RSVP. We just completed the series, What's Love Got to Do With It? And so we enjoyed sharing in that series in the month of February. And now we are diving into RSVP. Invited to invite. I can remember going to some parties when I was younger. My younger years. I'm not too old right now, but when I was younger, I would get invited to some parties. And you know, sometimes you get invited to parties and you go to the party and you really regret going to that party. Y'all know it's the ones they invite you to. Hey, come on. And then they say something like, bring some folk with you. Hold up. Time out. Hold up. So what would make me need to bring people to your party? But then you invite some of your friends and you get there only to find out they have no food. The DJ is horrible. And you're now enduring the party. And you're saying, I would have been better off watching paint dry than coming to this party. You are solely embarrassed that you went to the party. Let me tell you my own story about going to a party. Over the holidays, Sabrina and I went down to New Orleans. My mother put us in a trick bag. That's what my grandmother described the setup. My mother put us in a trick bag. My mother said she had been invited to a party, but she wasn't feeling well, so she didn't want to miss out. So she gave us the tickets to the party and said, just let the host know I wasn't feeling well. Cool, you know. We actually had to go buy outfits and everything for this party just to make sure we fit in all right. Got to the party, and there were people in the party. There was some cold food available at the party. But what made the party so much worse was that the DJ felt like he had to talk over the top of every single song. Song was starting, the DJ said, hey, let's go, everybody, you remember this one right here. Next song, come on, y'all, let's go. Can you stop talking, brother, so we can actually hear the song? And so we got to the party late, only to leave early. We snuck out because we did not want to be at that party. Some of you have experienced what it's like going to a party and you really just want to get away. Maybe it wasn't somebody else's fault. Maybe you did the wrong thing and you really are embarrassed about how you fell down and knocked this over. There are times when parties just don't go as we want them to. Then there are parties which seem to live on forever. It was the best party. It's the one in your mind where you were on top of your game. You looked your best. You looked the best and everybody else remembered you. You know, in your mind, it was your heyday. It was the best party ever. You still have the pictures to remind yourself of the party. You know, you did the best dance and everybody remembered you. You weren't even the host of the party, but everybody remembered your name. Well, maybe I'm just telling my own story as I go back down memory lane about how sometimes parties used to be great parties. And you remember how it was. You know, the good parties, they live on forever. The good parties get talked about. Everyone shares pictures just to say they were at the party. But there's another party, a party that's been going on for centuries, a party that changes lives, a party that restores marriages, a party that gives hope, a party that mends broken hearts, a party that brings joy where there is sadness, a party that makes us brand new. And not only that, brothers and sisters, you and I are invited to the party. And we are invited to invite others to the party. Tap your neighbor and say, that's my kind of party. That's my kind of party. While this party has been going on for centuries, you and I play a part in it. Today I want to share with us a little bit about the part that we play in this party. We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. The Gospel of Luke was written by Dr. Luke, is how I describe him. Luke was a physician, so I call him Dr. Luke. He gives us a record of Jesus' life. And Luke does a great job showing us the humanity of Jesus. Luke wants us to see that Jesus takes care to show love to all people. Here, chapter 14 opens with saying that Jesus went to a party, a prominent Pharisee's house. Now, that in and of itself was comical because the Pharisees did not really like Jesus. In school, they reminded us that who the Pharisees were. They were the ones who saw Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we see the Pharisees. They thought they were better than everybody else. They were the religious upright. If God had to pick some favorite people, it would be them. They're the ones who really got it all together right. So much so they would take a scripture and create laws around the scripture, because obviously they saw Pharaoh, you see. And so they invite Jesus to a prominent Pharisee's house for a dinner party. Jesus, the one they don't really like anyway. So I think that's comical. Jesus goes to the party on the Sabbath day, the holy day, and there is a sick man there. And Jesus says, hey, y'all, would it be okay if I were to help this guy? They look at Jesus, they don't say anything. Jesus heals him. And then Jesus says to them, if one of you all had an animal or a child that needed help on the Sabbath day, would you help them? They look at Jesus and they say nothing. You can almost feel the awkward moment at this point as Jesus is talking to them and they're just staring at Jesus. Then Jesus noticed how they were trying to get the good seats. I mean, after all, they were at a baller's house, so they were trying to get closer to the head of the table to show how important they were. Y'all know some people are like that. They'll take the picture. They can't wait to get in the picture next to somebody important just to say, you know, they made it, they have arrived, you know. Hey, you know, it's just me and Obama on the weekend, hashtag my life. And you look a little close, like, hold on, that's Madame Tussauds. I've been there too. But some people just really want to feel important, and that's what's happening in chapter number 14. Jesus says to the host, hey, anybody can invite people who are of high status. Y'all come around and just look important and y'all keep trading invites with one another. Anybody can do that. That's easy within your own class. But a great host understands the value of inviting someone who doesn't deserve it so that when they get there, they're able to truly enjoy the uplifting moment in their life. Someone responds and says, we will see what happens when the Messiah comes. We'll be able to eat at the table with him. Jesus then shares this story with them that's helpful for us. Jesus says to them, there was a certain man who had a party. Man, he sent his servant to check on everybody, get RSVPs before he bought all this food and everything. And then he came back and said, okay, master, this is how many people are going to come. This is how many people you got to feed. Master goes out, bought all the food, has the party planned, and sends a servant, go get the people, tell them everything is ready. He goes to get the jokers, and the jokers all got excuses as to why they're not going to be able to come. And obviously, the certain man, the master who represents God, gets upset. And says, I want you to go find anybody you can find. Somebody eating this food today. And so he goes out to get everybody that he can find to sit at the table. Brothers and sisters, in this story, I want us to see three things. We're going to ask and wrestle with three questions. First of all, whose party is it? Whose party is it? If you're taking notes, that's our first point. If you're looking in your insert, that's our first point. Whose party is it? You know, it's important to know whose party you're going to. You know what it's like when somebody calls you and invites you to a party, and you ask, wait a minute, whose party is this? And they give you a name that sends you back down memory lane. You say, no. I've done that before. And I don't ever want them experiences in my life. Like, I'm still trying to recover from some of the stuff I did 8 years ago. And I know I'm not going to any party that they have. It's kind of important to know who's throwing the party. In the text, we see whose party it is. The certain man in verse 16 represents God. And God is throwing a party for the ages. It's a party called the Kingdom of God. And those who are too busy, those who have too much going on in their lives, represent people who reject God's invite. You see, during those days, a host would first send out a soft invite. It's pretty much an RSVP. Hey, y'all, I'm about to throw a party. I want to get the numbers and see how many people are coming. And then once he got the names, he began to go ahead and plan the party. So the host prepares the place. The host prepares the party. All the hope is that's needed is at the party. All the love that people could need is at the party. All the joy that the world could need is at the party. The salvation for the world is at the party. Restoration is at the party. The party is ready. The angelic choir is singing. Then the servant goes back to the people and say, hey, y'all that RSVP, the party is ready. Oh, but now everybody has excuses. Let me pause here to say something that's really personal to me. You all may know Sabrina and I are planning our wedding, and it costs a lot of money to feed people. I need y'all to feel Pastor's heart here. It costs a lot, and her family is like, there are so many of them. It's a lot of people, and they all eat. And so I of the mind that it could be a bring your own food reception. I mean, it works perfectly fine for me. Lucky for them, Sabrina just ain't having it. Oh, but let them RSVP and not want to show up. That's going to be a real intense conversation. I'm going to need prayer. And we spend all this and people don't show up. That's exactly what's happening in the text, though. The host, God, has prepared everything for them, but they reject it. Same thing happens today. People reject the hope and salvation that God has made available. Some of us reject all that God has for us because we are too busy. We're worried about ourselves, and we lose sight of God's party. And then the host does something interesting. After he's prepared everything and has been rejected by people who feel as though they don't need anything, the party is still ready, but the place is empty. Salvation is still there, but the place is empty. Hope is still there, but the place is empty. Restoration is still there, but the place is empty. Love, joy is still there, but the place is empty. He ends up sending his servant back out into the streets to find the crippled, the lame, the poor, those who are on the highways and the byways, and to compel them to come in to a party that has everything that they could ever need. And so the host says, I want you to go find people and fill my house because I have prepared the party. Our second point, brothers and sisters, is simply this. The question I want you to answer and wrestle with is, who does the inviting? We see it's God's party, but who does the inviting? Check out the text. The text says that the host says to his servant, servant, I want you to go out to the highways and to the byways. I want you to go mingle with the poor people. I want you to go mingle with the lame, the ones that society has cast aside. I want you to go to them, and I want you to compel them to come in where I have laid everything out for them that they could ever need in life. Brothers and sisters, the one who's responsible for doing the inviting is the servant. And for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, God says to us, I want you to go out into the and compel men, women, boys, and girls to come into my house where there is love, where there is hope, where there is salvation, where there is restoration, where their lives can be changed. It's our responsibility to do the inviting. The text, brothers and sisters, the person who's responsible for the invite is the servant. Those of us who profess Christ as our Lord and Savior, those of us who claim that we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our spirit, are responsible for doing the inviting. If the house stays empty, it will not be because the host didn't do his job. It will not be because Jesus hadn't put salvation available for all of us. It will be because we did not go out to compel men, women, boys, and girls It will be because we did not go outside of our comfort zones to reach those who are far from God and draw them closer to Jesus Christ. The text teaches us, brothers and sisters, that we are the ones who must open our mouths and say, hey, there is a party.
Yes, sir.
It's a party for the ages. Hey, there is a party. It's a party that's been going on since God said, let there be light. Hey, there is a party that can change your life. And God has sent me to invite you to the party. Brothers and sisters, it's God's party. It's our responsibility to do the inviting to the party. Then thirdly, this is it, and I'm out of your way, brothers and sisters. Thirdly, we see who gets invited to the party. The Bible says that the servant goes out to the lame, to the cripple, to the countryside, to the streets, to the byways, not to the people who are wealthy, not to those who have land and things like that they got to concern themselves. No, go to the people who have been overlooked. Go to the people who realize that they need to be uplifted in life and compel them to come to the party. Brothers and sisters, I'm out of your way. I'm going to tell you this story. I'm out of your way. Check this out. I can remember one of the most exciting times in my life. I got invited to an exclusive party. I got it. That's right. Your pastor got invited to an exclusive party. So I got invited to an exclusive party. Now, here's the thing, though. I did not know the host. Didn't know the host. As a matter of fact, I really didn't even know there was a party until someone thought enough of me to invite me. It was a special party. It was an exclusive party. It was by invite only. It was a special party. It was an exclusive party. I didn't even know the host, but someone thought enough of me to invite me to the party. It was an invite only party. My name couldn't get me in the party. My money could not get me in the party. My education could not get me in the party. My title could not get me in the party. It was a special party. It was an exclusive party. It was an invite-only party. And while I did not know the host of the party, I knew someone who thought enough of me to invite me to the party. And oh, y'all, it was a party. I had a show enough good time. I ate all the food in the party. I danced like I wanted to dance in the party. It was an exclusive party, an invite-only party. I had made it in the party. I'm taking all kinds of pictures in the party. Hey, all the selfies I want in the party. Why? Because I got invited to a special party, my first invite-only party. I had made it in my mind because somebody thought enough of me to invite me to the party. And while at the party, I got to meet the host. And once I met the host, I knew, oh, I have made it. This is my moment. I'm started from the bottom. Now I'm here. I'm good to go. The party was great. It lasted for about 4 hours. Then the party was over. And I had all the memories of the party. I still have all the memories of the party. I want to get another invite like that. It was a good party. It was an amazing party. But the party ended. There is another party. There is another party that's invite only. People are invited regardless of their social status. People are invited regardless of their economic status, regardless of their racial background. Everybody gets invited to this party, just like the other party. Degrees can't get you into this party. Your name cannot get you into this party. Money cannot get you into this party. You have to be invited. And those of us who are Christians are the ones charged with inviting men, women, boys, and girls to God's party. It's a party that has been going on for centuries. It started on a Friday when the thief on a cross said to Jesus, "Can I come to the party?" And Jesus said, "Surely you can come on to the party." It continued on Sunday when Jesus opened the doors to the party. It runs down to Paul when he got invited on a Damascus road. And it continues throughout history. And it hit me one day when somebody invited me to God's party. And when I got to that party, my life changed. My story changed. I was restored. I found hope. I found love. I found salvation at that party. And the party still continues to this day. Is there anybody here that knows what it's like to be in God's party? Brothers and sisters, God has a party going on. It's a party that's been going on for centuries. But it's our responsibility to invite others. It's our responsibility to invite those who are far from God and bring them closer to God. The question is, are we inviting people to experience life change? Are we inviting people to experience the restoration that God has for them in God's body? Brothers and sisters, we are invited to invite. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you that somebody invited us to the party. We thank you, Lord God, that our name, our education, our money, our titles can't get us into this party. But we thank you that the work of Jesus Christ opens the door for all of us to come into a party. Come into the party called the Kingdom of God. A party that goes on for eternity. A party that fills us with joy. A party that can put broken lives back together. A party that can restore. A party that can mend broken marriages. A party that gives hope. A party that lets us know that you love us. There is nothing that we can do to destroy that. Lord God, we pray now that you would help us invite others to the party. Help us invite others to experience life change that can happen when they accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Help us to understand what RSVP is all about. Help us to go out to the highways and the byways, to those who don't know you. Help us to be willing to tell our story, to let them know, hey, there is a party. There is a party that does not stop because the love of God does not stop. Lord, we pray now that you would help us to be willing to invite. Then, Lord God, we pray now for somebody who may be sitting in here today who does not know you in the pardoning of their sin, who has never confessed Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray now, Lord God, that you would touch their mind, touch their heart, letting them know that they are invited at this moment to the party. Help somebody make a decision not to reject you, but to accept the invite to the party. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Went to an exclusive party. I went to the exclusive party because somebody thought enough of me to invite me. I went to the exclusive party not because I knew the host, but I knew someone who did know the host. And they said, I'm going to invite a friend to the party. My brothers and sisters, let me stand all over the sanctuary. Maybe there's somebody here right now. You're saying, okay, I hear about this God. I hear about the love. I hear about the restoration in this party. How do I get in the party? Pastor, you're talking to me. Can I get invited? My brother, my sister, we invite you to the party right now. At this moment, you can make a decision. God, I want to go to your party. I want to go to the party called the Kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, to get in the party is really, really simple. We don't embarrass you with the invite. We simply ask you to repeat after us. We pray a collective prayer together. We pray a collective prayer because we are all in the party. As soon as you pray this prayer, you're in the party with us. If you never confess Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to do that to get in the party, or maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. You're saying, Pastor, I was in the party. I was in the Kingdom of God. But man, I left the party. And now I regret leaving it. I want to come on back in the party. Maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, we invite you to pray this prayer with us collectively as you take your invite to the party. Simply repeat after me. Dear Lord,
I admit
that I am a sinner.
I admit
that I have messed up. But I accept that you're having a party.
I accept
that you sent Jesus to die for me.
I accept
that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise because somebody just made a decision to come on.
party. Somebody has made a decision to come back to the party,
and we thank God for that. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence.